Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I'm supposed to be on this side. Our text for this week is a continuation of the text from last week. And in that story, Jesus is going to be coming into a Samaritan village, and he gets rejected. And his disciples want to call down fire. Jesus, shall we call down the fire from heaven and consume them? Jesus says, not exactly what I had in mind. In this text, Jesus is no dummy. He's learned. So now he has gathered together 70 of his disciples. And he is sending them out in 35 pairs to prepare the people for his arrival. He sends them out in an odd kind of way. He sends them out kind of unprepared and under-resourced. As I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking when I fly now, I try to, no offense to people with small children, I love you, but I try to make sure that I'm not in the TSA behind someone with three kids. Because the amount of stuff that you have to bring for your children is absolutely remarkable. I'm actually thinking my retirement career will be as a Sherpa for young families who are traveling. That's not how Jesus sends them out. He doesn't send them out with sophisticated strollers and backpacks and huge suitcases. Jesus sends them out with one pair of sandals and no cloak, no food, no nothing. He sends them out and asks them to trust that what they will need will find them along the way. He says to them, I'm sending you like a lamb in the presence of wolves. He sends them out not knowing exactly what to expect, without a plan, without a backup, not even a cell phone. Nothing. We find these days, as the apostles that God is sending, we find ourselves sometimes feeling much the same. I mean, put yourself in the place of those 35 pairs of people. Jesus says, I want you to go out into all the places where I'm going to be, and I want you to tell them about me, but I'm not going to give you any resources. No script, not even a canteen, nothing, just go. They face an uncertain future with only one sort of uncertain task. Tell them about me. Well, we're in the same boat these days. We're looking forward to an uncertain future. We're certainly better resourced. We're a little more akin to the parents who fly these days than the disciples were back then, the apostles. But we don't really know exactly what the future has in store for us. Things are changing for this community of faith so rapidly and so completely that we too find ourselves a bit adrift on a path with which we are unfamiliar, and a future that doesn't seem very clear. It's hard to know what's ahead. Well, you know, Andy, you're getting ready to make a new start here pretty soon. Next Sunday is your last Sunday. You've done all of your didactic work. I've given you an absolutely stellar review that Jesus would envy. What do you see ahead?
Well, you know, you asked this on Tuesday, if I can get out of my chair.
Well, that is the first step to ordination.
That is, And I've been thinking about this. What is next? I grew up in the Lutheran church. I went through confirmation class. Heck, I even went to seminary. Gold star.
Well, silver anyway.
Silver anyway, yeah, okay. Maybe even platinum. And I couldn't help but think that, you know what? Maybe I don't know. Maybe all of this learning has led up to this point, and this point of unknown, this cliff of what's next. Not only am I not sure for myself what is next, but I'm not sure for the church what's next, or even for this congregation. What is next?
Well, I don't know. You know, so often we think of, we act as if the future is something that is unfolding before us, and we are just sort of passive participants in the future unfolding before us. And I'm not sure that that's true. At least in some ways, what the future of the church and our faith and the work that we do will depend on us and what we're willing to do. What we're willing to be as that future unfolds before us. And it's not that we're masters somehow of that future, but we are, if we properly understand ourselves, active participants in the faith. After all, Jesus says, "You are my body, sent out." So I guess maybe some of what that future will look like will depend partly on what we're willing to do.
Right. Jesus tells his disciples that I am sending you out into that unknown place. Jesus asks his disciples, what are you willing to put on your sandals for and be sent out to do?
Well, I think it's a great question.
So?
What are you willing to put on your sandals
for? What are you willing to put your sandals on for?
It's horrible. Well, it's a silly kind of question, and yet at the same time really salient.
Yes.
Because what our future will look like depends on what are you willing to put your sandals on for?
Those who we've been waiting for are ourselves. So, as the future unfolds around us, what are you willing to put on your sandals for?
And that is not a rhetorical question. Seriously, as you think about the future of faith and the future of the church, what are you willing to put your sandals on for and be sent to? Anything? Oh, we are in trouble.
You might have to fix my evaluation.
Yeah. What's that? Social justice. Things like? Okay. Okay. Okay, you'd put on your sandals for that. Okay?
We should have got gold stars.
Yeah, we should have. Or at least since you were the first one, we should have gotten sticky notes. Yes. That caring and sharing is what? Oh, it's not an intellectual pleasure, okay? It's action. Okay. So you can't just pontificate about it. You actually got to put on your sandals and do it. It involves some actual stuff. Okay? Anybody else? Choir's like, no. Yes? Feeding people who are hungry. That's something you'd put your sandals on for the future, for the present. Yes?
Taking care of children.
Taking care of children. Yeah. Awesome. Yes, Cindy. Okay? What kind of ways? Yeah.
And recycle your lids.
High on our list is recycling your lids for the art project that's coming up. Nice plug. What else? These people are really good. We have only had anybody over here willing to take your sandals off.
Engaging in dialogue with people who have different opinions and not being dismissive.
Okay. Fabulous. Thank you. Bruce, did you have your hand up?
Be generous with your love.
Fabulous. Thank you. Wow.
Peter, did I see your hand?
Yes.
Wow, that's heavy, dude. Someone may invoke the separation of church and state, but that would not be right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Don.
Be politically active to get justice for the immigrants.
Great. Yeah, so being concerned for our neighbors in an active way. Yeah. Sounds like you'd put on your shoes for a lot of stuff, right? And all of that is connected somehow with our faith. What's really cool is that in this text, Jesus reminds the disciples, reminds the apostles, reminds every one of you that he has given you the authority to do so. The authority to do so. At the end of this text, the 70 return with joy and say to Jesus, "Even the demons submitted to us." And Jesus reminds them, "Yes, I've given you authority over all these things, but it is a humble authority that's rooted in trust. In trust of God." One of the things Andy and I figured out early in our working on this sermon is that Jesus sends the disciples, the apostles, out into the world with nothing because it helps them to understand how they have to go with trust. That they trust that God will remain with them, that they trust that they will be provided for, that they will trust that the mission into which they are sent is a good and holy mission. And then God gives them authority. And of course, you know what happens with authority when you give people authority? They take it. Right? So, I mean, you all know that over time, this whole thing about authority over snakes and everything led in some parts of our world, in our country, to the snake handling religions. Where people say, look, if you aren't able to handle a rattlesnake and be bit and not die, then you must not have faith, which is of course not what this text is about. And in the same way, we don't get to lord that authority over ourselves, each other, or even the world, because it is a humble authority that has its root and its being in love.
This work, this amazing prophetic work, is not done by ourselves. Yes, we might go into the world in pairs or in groups or as families, but we are also accompanied by the Holy Spirit throughout all of our time. It is the Holy Spirit that accompanies us and gives us courage to do this difficult and joyful and transformative work.
So while we may not see exactly what the future has in store for the world, for us, for our congregation, or for our church, we do know this, that there is much that is worth putting our sandals on for and going out into the world. We know that God remains with us through our journey into the very last day of our lives, and that God has sent us together to be God's body in the world, that justice and hope and love might live. That is our future. Amen.